Welcome to the Nehemiah Entrepreneurship Community Podcast. I'm your host, Patrice Aguirre. I'm here today back in the studio with our good friend, Bishop Smith. Bishop, welcome again to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Patrice.
Well, you guys are familiar with Bishop. Bishop is the founding pastor of a great church in LA called Zoe Christian Fellowship. Bishop is also the founder of Bishop. Actually, you also chair a credit union for over 16 years.
I did, yeah. I was on the board and I chaired it for several years as well. The largest funder of church loans in America, Evangelical Christian Credit Union in Brea, California.
You are no small potatoes, my friend. I keep discovering these layers about you. I mean, that is incredible. And Bishop is also the founder of the Bishop. So I want to make sure I say your organization, the association, right? It is the Zoe Association International. Did I say it right?
Yes, sir.
And the Zoe Association International, pretty much it is a group of churches, ministries, businesses, individuals who desire to collaborate together for a greater impact in cities, countries where they serve. And their vision is to expand kingdom influence to every nation, people group, sphere, society. Bishop, I'm just realizing this is actually a membership organization. I know we kind of thought that was an aspirational goal, but you actually are a membership. How you struck? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, are we members of the? What is it to be a member?
I think it's maybe around $100 to $150, something like that.
Is that right?
We're going to relaunch it. That's why we haven't talked much about it. When I took over the leadership of the association, I took kind of a hiatus from asking for funding because I wanted to restructure the organization and then add value. And when they ask you the value, they'll want to be a part.
Wow. You know what, Bishop? Let us know. Count us as members.
All righty. Thank you.
I love it. You know, because for what we do, church partnership is so important in association. And so you can count us in. So today we're going to talk with Bishop about an upcoming conference he's having called the Zoe Purpose Conference and Film Festival. It's an event he has every year. Today, for the first time, he'll be doing it digitally. So we're going to talk about it. So stay tuned to learn more about it, find out how you can be a part, be involved, and register for rituals. They're not open yet. However, you'll know all the facts that you need and where to go once they are open. But before we get into the conference, Bishop, for those watching and listening to us right now, tell us about the days of the conference and what they can expect. And then we're going to kind of go backwards and come back to it.
Thank you. The days of the conference are July 15th through the 24th. Really, it's two conferences together, the Zoe Purpose Conference, and then it's the Nehemiah Film Festival. Nehemiah Project LA is our urban initiative to address the orphans of the world. And in the United States, we call them former foster kids. And these are young people that age out of foster care that really have no place to go. And they tend to be the people that get in trouble. About 30% of our prison population are young people that grew up in foster care. So they're abandoned and that's not good. And I believe the church needs to step up and believers need to step up and do a much better job. And not only on the back end as they get out, but also encourage church to be better in strengthening families on the front end and help them prosper and start businesses so we can minimize those kids' families being broken up and going into foster care.
Wow, that is awesome. So the film festival is sponsored by the Nehemiah Project LA, and that's showcasing through film kind of some of the gifts and skills there. And I'm assuming then the benefits of all of that is to further the foster care movement and supporting the mission of Nehemiah Project LA. Would that be correct?
Correct. It is. Awesome. It's about bringing awareness and allowing people to have an opportunity to get a window into the lives of these young people. We say this too often, they are hidden in plain sight. You see them part of the homeless, you see a struggling young adult, teenager, 20 something, and too often have been in foster care.
Wow, that is so true. And then there's the Purpose Conference. Give us a bit about that.
The Purpose Conference is part of our Zoe Association. It's a major event, international. We have churches in Japan and the Philippines. We have them in Brazil. We have them in South Africa, in Malawi, throughout Latin America and the United States, and various states in the United States. And it's about helping people to live for God's purpose. And that's a broad enough term, but it really focuses in on what has God called you to do and how do we help enable you do that. So we've always had business workshops and seminars. We've had various speakers. God would have us go into all the world. And when I began to really understand it more deeply, I realized God meant leave no part of the world out. So it's about preparing people to begin to, and even the pastors, to start ministering and teaching in these areas to qualify and equip their congregations to go into the world where they, around them and impact it for God's kingdom purpose.
I love it. And Bishop asked me to be one of the speakers, and I'm thankful again for that, Bishop. I'm honored. I'm looking forward to being a part and sharing as a part of your conference coming up. And so we'll do our part to share it and promote it as the promotion material becomes more and more available. So again, mark your calendars, July 15th through the 24th, the Zoe Purpose Conference. This is for pastors, leaders, and entrepreneurs and workplace believers who want to be aligned with their purpose to make a difference in whatever sphere of influence they are part of, or equip their leaders. And in the film festival, where you, the Nehemiah Film Festival, Project Film Festival, which this is where you will discover the true media. You will discover kind of what Nehemiah Project LA is doing and ways by which you can hopefully get hooked into this assignment that they have of impacting our young people who don't have a place to stay, who've been left, as he said, living with us, among us in plain sight, are not seen or valued. But Bishop, let's go back a bit. You were a guest with me here before, and I tell you, you're one of the few pastors, the only other pastor, well, let me not have my pastor's friends get mad at me here, but you're one of the few pastors who really get this marketplace stuff. And you spoke, I've had Pastor Mark from Manor House. So that did a great job as you did in just kind of bringing it together. So before we kind of go over your journey with the Zoe International Conference, Association to get to the, this year, let's talk about your life journey as a pastor and as a minister has been the blend of both marketplace, business, and you've understood early the importance of that blend, even though by your own admission, you weren't as intentional for your congregation, but that has evolved. But you've always been an entrepreneur yourself. But then what evolved was the intentionality about bringing that theology into the day-to-day church. Talk a bit about that so that our entrepreneur audience can understand kind of as a pastor, talk a bit about how you view that brand, how it impacts your life, and how it's impacted how you do what you do.
Well, before I became a pastor, I worked in corporate America as a businessman, even raised venture capital. We started a computer store, and also we had a software company that we started that served banks and savings and loans and applications for their organizations. And so as a result of working in corporate America, then God began to call me and draw me into more involvement in my local church. By the way, I had no intentions of becoming a pastor, didn't want to be a pastor, didn't like pastors, had bad experiences with a pastor as a young boy. When I received Christ, my heart obviously got healed and got open. And then I began to see these skills and experiences I had, how it's needed in the body of Christ. So when God called me to start a church 31 years ago in my living room, it has now grown to a larger church. We own almost 5 acres of property outside of the county of LA. We've impacted probably over 30,000 people have been won to Christ in the last 30 some years, because we're very intentional to win people to Christ and help them grow and mature. So as a result of that, I realized that the skill sets that I had was very valuable to people. And I understood implicitly that business management, leaders in any organization required organizational, business, administration, financial acumen, and understanding. And without it, people are left behind. We praise God, we go to church regularly, we pay our tithes, but if we don't understand management and that the skills and the opportunities God has given us and the resources, how to add value to it, we're left behind in the world and we're not respected because of it too often. Christians who struggle and somehow don't improve their lives, I would venture to say some Christians think that way of believers who just won't get it together because they don't understand, they had not been exposed. So people in the inner cities too often are victims of that environment. And so we want to focus on urban communities because there's gold and there's wisdom and there's diamonds in the rough in the ghettos, in the barrios, in the urban centers. And they just need to understand how to do it and see some role models. And so many people in our church have started businesses. They have their executives, some of them Fortune 100 companies. They go back to college when they may have dropped out and then finish, and they finish college. They go, they're lawyers, they're doctors, they're business people. And so it's the kind of environment that we have created in our church and in my life. People that know me and get close to me, they realize that this is important. And then really, we attract people who want that, who want to be able to apply these skills and follow their dreams as well. So it evolved. And when we started out I at the bank where I worked at before I came full time in the past as pastor, I'm talking to these business people wanting me to counsel them in, about business. I'm vice president of marketing and I'm giving them some ideas. Come by my house. And no, first of all, I began to have individual appointments and it was just too much. I said, look, all y'all need to come together in one place at my house and I'll teach you on a Saturday morning. And that evolved to what I call the Zoe Economic Business School. And so we were featured in a local television program, with an award-winning program called Making It. Minority entrepreneurs were featured for our efforts. We bought a travel agency in South Africa. We were the first organization, happened to be Black, first organization that brought Black entrepreneurs to South Africa shortly after Nelson Mandela was released out of prison. And they paid for the whole thing. We brought people that own McDonald's franchises, all kind of businesses, and many of them began to invest there, start businesses, and even bought property there to live.
Wow, what an incredible heritage. Bishop, do you all know of Reverend Leon Sullivan?
I know of him, I haven't met him personally.
Oh my Lord, because as you talk about South Africa, as a matter of fact, my mother is the one that introduced me to Reverend Leon. This is before pre-Christ, I would have been saved. So my mother used to come, he used to have these international Africa, African-American conferences, economic summits, whereby there would be multinational American companies with multinational African companies and government with the idea of creating this bridge. And I bring him up because he used to organize them in South Africa as a part of, but what was sad back then, Pastor, is that when I went to this conference with my mom, there weren't African-American businesses. All the businesses were African and white companies. And so it didn't register a lot to me back then. I was a kid. I was kind of interpreting my mom. But the thing that did register for me was that he was a pastor. Well, not a local church pastor. He was an ordained minister who was using economics as a bridge builder. And very few African Americans knew about what he was doing. And OIC, Opportunity Industrial Corporation, I believe it's corporation, was the, at one point in America, was the largest nonprofit in America.
Wow.
Don't know that. He's an unsung hero. Don't know that. He was, I believe, the first African American to be on the corporate board of a publicly traded company in the United States. Wow. So another pastor, Reverend Leon Sullivan, pioneered. He was a giant of a man. I mean, you, and then at these conferences, he would preach the gospel.
I love it.
Now I'm unsaved, but I'm sitting there, I'm inspired. I'm like, go on, Pastor. And then fast track, I get saved. And me, my mind, my heart came back
Yeah.
Conferences where I would sit at the feet of Leon Sullivan as a young man in terms of my mom and be inspired by this man, not fully understanding what he means saying spiritually, but my spirit being fed, and it got woken later on down the line.
Yeah.
So if you're watching and listening, I encourage you to Google Reverend Leon Sullivan and see the heritage, the contribution that this man has done. And so you're essentially following in his footsteps in what you're doing. It's incredible and impressive. I mean, because without leaders like yourself and Leon Sullivan and many African-American leaders, apartheid would not have ended.
No. In fact, it got to the point in South Africa that before they allowed the vote for blacks to vote for president, and the economic impact, the different sanctions and so forth, they had about less than 30 days of cash in the country if they didn't do something. And South Africa is the better for it because of it. Mandela was a good man. God dealt with his heart while he was in prison. I recall, I wasn't there, but I heard about it, that it was the largest assembly of heads of state ever in one place at Nelson Mandela's inauguration, the largest ever. And at the lunch afterwards, he asked, I want to introduce my good friends. And he had his jailers, the white jailers, and kept him in jail, stand up. They became his friends.
Okay.
And it was powerful, the relationship. And so there's so much potential in African countries. And be quite honest, many countries see the value and they tap into it. But it's past time for African Americans to not only go there and visit, but also own property and start businesses and even joint venture with our African brothers and sisters.
Amen. Well said. Well, Pastor, let me segue into something with South Africa, because they were inspired by the civil rights movement, and they used the template of the African American journey to freedom in their own journey.
Yeah.
But my opinion, and I want to hear your thoughts here, because I want to ask a question on that, is that the difference between the African American story and the South African story is that in the case of the African Americans, Africans in America were a minority group. Yeah. In the case of Africans in South Africa, they are a majority group.
Right.
Now, for those who are watching and listening, follow me if you can. So the challenge, the problems that I see now with South Africa as they follow the template of the African American journey, and you know, literally to the left, is that they began to use both their political power or political strength to reverse discrimination, and that has hurt the country. And to the point whereby it's not about competence, but it's about reversing the historical injustice. Now, don't get me wrong, we do need to be mindful of historical injustices, but right. I believe that when we're governing and we reward incompetence just because of race, so when we use the tools of government, we use the economics tools to right the wrongs of the past without being mindful of production, without being mindful of competence and so forth, we do ourselves harm in the long term. And so my concern with South Africa right now is that that's the error that I believe they've made. Which, what are your thoughts? Any opinion there? I know this is a bold statement here, because we were there doing programming, and the biggest obstacle is trying to get our friends to understand, listen, we need to recognize the injustices. That is correct. However, we cannot become like the oppressor.
Right.
That's when we lose the battle. Your thoughts there?
Well, you said it right. We can't be like people who were part of the creating the problem for the indigenous people. And what happens, to be quite honest, is you have people who don't know God, number one, or they're not committed to his principles and living by it and serving and relating to others. You know, Nelson Mandela, one thing he did, he made sure his white brothers were at the table as well.
Exactly.
In the government. Exactly. Because we can't do it without one another. They're South Africans too. And so it's that kind of and then also it could be a problem. You know, you take advantage. We see it really in America. It's these unchecked, or even not checking yourself. There's a teaching I'll be talking more about later, but just talking more about the role of management. It's not just for organizations who call to the business field and our regular families. It's managing what God has given us and Amen. Adding value to it. And so when God created the earth, he saw what he did, but he said, I'll have no man to till or manage really the earth. And so it's not just only being farmers, it's about everything. That's part of the problem. People don't get a clear idea of what they're called to do and how to relate to other people and how to affect change in a God-honoring way. So that's, to me, you're right. You know, what happens, you just exchange leadership and there's still people that aren't treating other people right. Yeah, and that's right. Not good.
And including their own people. And you raise a point there. That was not the spirit of Nelson Mandela.
No.
Right? That was not the spirit. And so we got to pray for South Africa. And my prayer is that the Lord raise up leaders in the like of Nelson Mandela. Let me say this. I mean, here's the reality. See, the leadership can change, but if you put incompetent leadership in place just because they're white or black or Chinese, you hurt everybody.
Right.
I mean, you hurt everybody. You know, and so we've got to be able to look at, you know, and that's where the biblical model comes into place. The biblical model is a model of redemption. It's a model of not a model of revenge. It's a model that recognizes that in all of us, there's this leaning towards sin. But yeah. Thank you for Jesus. And so when the Christ followers take over, we create a framework that redeems all men, that puts a check in even in us to make sure we don't do to the others what has been done to us.
Exactly. And we follow the biblical example and share that biblical example, like Joseph. Amen. Joseph became the governor of Egypt, and his role, while he was doing the bidding of God, God knew a famine would come, but he saved Egypt.
Amen. Amen.
And he could have been evil to his brothers who sold him as a slave and intended to kill him. That's right. He didn't. It's that heart. See, sometimes when you get a success, you have power and influence. If you don't maintain the values of God and the word of God, what happens, people get influenced by the world system and they take advantage of that. And really it doesn't work well for them because that's not God's way.
Well said, well said. So with that, so let's talk about the association. So Pastor, yes, when you took over this association, what was your heart intent? What impact have you seen so far?
Well, when I decided to accept the opportunity to take over our association, I wanted to have more of a greater impact in our cities and urban communities around the world, literally. So we brought in leaders, pastors, business people, nonprofit leaders to help me. Although I had a sense about it, I wanted them to own it, so they had to own the vision. And so it took about almost a year. We meet in almost every month. We had meetings between 50 to 70 people. And we'll have dialogue, or hired a consultant to work with us to help facilitate. And we got clarity and we found out that foster care was a big issue, especially those who age out at 18 or 21 in the United States. Then I realized, look at certain scriptures, that they don't have the name orphan, but they are their orphans. They're familyless, if you would. No parents that take care of them, support them while they grow up. So when they're adults, they have no family, no family structure. So they tend to be loners and they tend to be highly independent. And it works to their disadvantage. So it was an area that we decided needed focus. And how we do it, through a collaboration. Because it's the whole world. It's the whole, all of the United States. We just can't do it by ourselves. But collaborate with good people that have already been, God put on their heart already to address this need. We just begin to work together. And there's some outstanding businesses that provide jobs and construction companies that can help on the housing development piece. Also, there are people that provide mental health. That's a major challenge for, you know, some of these young people. Coach mentoring. So you have the coach piece, but also mentoring piece, because sometimes you have to take off the coach hat, put on your adult friend hat and say, you know what? You shouldn't make that decision today. This is why. Like your parents would do. So they may work with you, but you're about to step off the cliff. You shouldn't do that, and explain to them why. And so that's what they need. My children, your children, is the same way. They got an opportunity to go to college. They had a family support. They need a few $100 here or there. If they need it, you have it. You give it to them. These kids don't have that. And these people have potential. What happens, by the way, if they don't get help, if we don't rescue more of them, these are young people that are going to hate people. Let's kill these older people because their lives don't mean nothing.
That's right.
Or they're just ungodly because they don't believe that the church hasn't yet been in their lives. So that's another piece. And the third piece, they're the ones typically out there on the edge of society and causing a lot of problems. And because they're just tormented, they've been raped oftentimes, caught up in sex trafficking. And they say, God, you let this happen. So God said, let us do good works. Kids like this, for example, but they'll see the good works even in their own lives, and they'll glorify God, our Father God in heaven. They won't look to God as a father if they don't see good works being ministered to them in this earth.
I love it. What I like about you, Pastor, is that you're a strategist, right? You're not like in that sense. So you have the Nehemiah Project LA, and you take over the association, whether it was intentional on your part or not, but I believe somehow it was intentional strategy. You have to align those two, right? And so you took the association process. Okay, what can we do that gives us a sense of purpose and significance more than just gathering?
Exactly.
And through whatever process you employed, foster care was identified. And I'm sure you had something to do with that.
Oh, yeah.
But you already had a vehicle for foster care here. And it's almost like the association now becomes something that we all gather together for and so forth. But then to the end result is that we do this one thing together.
Yes. You see, and that was the focus. What can we do that any church, if they wanted to, any Christian, if they wanted to, any nonprofit leader, any business person, believer, if they wanted to, can do together, is this foster care area.
Wow, that's awesome.
Because there's no built-in constraints. The only thing they say was not for me, not the best time for me right now. But they can give some money monthly.
That's right.
They can ask some volunteers periodically. They can do a number of ways. So you're right. I made it where I wanted it where if there's no legitimate reason or barriers why that will keep them out of working together.
I love it. So in a sense, you know, when we look at the association and when we, I'm going to go back and kind of share with you guys why this group exists. And I can put it this way. It says they're a group of churches, ministries, business individuals who desire to collaborate together for greater impact in their city, countries where they serve. And then I can literally put that. And then they've selected one area of impact that they want to make a major difference. And that's foster care.
Yeah.
Right. Because you can pick all kinds of stuff, but you said, let's do that one thing. And that's a great strategist. And that became the vehicle. You already got Nehemiah Project LA. That becomes what made that impact. So as we come together, we can do all kinds of stuff, but I will move in the dial on this one thing. Is that kind of what you kind of framed?
That's exactly. In fact, as I walked around in these meetings at these little tables and people are talking and dialoguing, it came up. I hear them talking, foster care, former foster kids, coaching, mentoring, all this business development, being a forever family to them. And so, yeah, it was clearly because, see, when a pastor and believers on the ground, no matter where they are in the world, latch on to help the widows and the children and orphans, our focus is the orphans right now. So then it allows them, especially a church, these are families or young people that now be part of your next generation.
Wow.
See, sometimes churches struggle not keeping kids because they don't have their, this is a way that these kids will love you like a parent. Okay. If you love them properly, take care of them properly, give them opportunities, treat them like our own children. We just helped one of our former foster young men. He got married in our church, goes to our church. He has three sons. And make a long story short, he just bought his first house. His first house, got the keys 2 weeks ago. See, we don't want to do just enough. Got a little place for you. You look cute. Okay. okay, now one day you got to get a job one day and leave. No, we want to equip them to live on their own. We want to equip them to thrive in life. We want to equip them to find what God's purpose is for their life and serve in that capacity and have a home that can build equity. Because God's the most real thing God can give us in terms of value and wealth is real estate. And if we don't understand that, it becomes a challenge. And so let's get them, you know, because it goes up. Land's not getting cheaper. It goes up. And so that can pass on. We can pass on wisdom, but we need to pass on land or real estate to our children and grandchildren. So, by the way, I found out not too long ago, people can adopt in the United States older adults that have been in foster care. Because some of these kids never got adopted by a family.
Wow. That's incredible. I should talk about real estate. One of the ways that my mother built her wealth, she bought everything she could put her hands on.
I love it.
And it's funny. And right now, when we look at her estate, even though because we've been fighting as a family, unfortunately, but one thing that's there is the real estate. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, because the company
last cars.
That's right. The other stuff can't, but the real estate stays. And so she has all kinds of real estate throughout the country that mm-hmm. made her estate because, you know, whenever she found a deal, she would buy, you wow. know, she would buy. As a matter of fact, there was one of the oil was discovered in one of her properties. I know gas.
Wow.
And she made a deal with a government gas company. They extracted gas out of her property. And, you know, that right now we're actually fighting with the government over that because they still owe us money for that. But the point is that real estate is not only good in terms of to build upon, but sometimes, particularly in Africa, there could be minerals.
Oh, yeah.
Under that land. And so you can have multi-use of it. So really, you're helping these foster kids not only get their honor back, know that they're creating God's image and likeness, but you also teach them tools for wealth creation.
Right. See, they don't need our pity. They need our partnership.
My Lord.
And so when you kind of open the door, but we'll talk later further, but part of my desire and how we work together with your organization, Nehemiah Project, is internationally, is to look at ways to do trade missions trips, bring business people, young people and older people, meet with various country leaders, partner with churches to be a part of that so they can begin to see what can happen in their own countries and other countries being a part of that are believers. You see, when I began to get involved in international ministry, you know, in the United States, you get a different view of people. Yeah. In the neighborhood where I grew up, the Koreans really weren't too nice to the black people. In my neighborhood, the Latinos or Hispanics, Mexicans were not too nice to the black people. Oh, in general, that was the image, okay? Had some bad experiences, but not a whole lot, but some. And so when I go to whenever I go to Latin America or Asia, it's like a rock star. They love me.
Yeah.
There's no hindrance there. Yeah. And what's so powerful about it, we're Christians together. Yeah. So yeah. Now there's a bond. There's so much potential of us working together. So even starting businesses together and buying property to live, maybe one day retire over in like various countries like Ghana or Kenya or South Africa, or a number of places, Cameroon, where you're from, retire. You can get oceanfront properties, many of these countries, or you can get some nice land, have a nice lake view or whatever.
That's right.
Why not? But you're not thinking this way. So part of my job is to, in my ministry, yes, focus on these foster kids, but for them also look at the world as for you and be a part of it.
Well, Pastor, it's a done deal, Bishop, because we are, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm leaving in a week, God willing, to Kenya and the Cameroon, going to be celebrating the success of Kenya and their center there. And then we're going to be doing a soft launch in Cameroon for the first e-community center there. And so we have centers around the world. Whenever you're ready, my friend, we'll just pick a country and we'll make it happen. And right now, as a matter of fact, we're working in Madagascar, one of our member clients there, who we've invested over $200,000 in her business. She's now top five furniture manufacturing companies in the country. Now we're helping her raise another round of capital for her second company, whereby is gonna be the first manufacturer of pellets in Madagascar. for the region and for the nation. And using her land, so she's using the assets from the first company to create value in the second, to raise capital so she can maintain controlling ownership of that. So whenever you're ready, we're ready, we'll make it happen. We'll pick the country, we'll do it.
Please send me some dates that you have it, and I'll plan, I wanna be a part. But also, I wanna encourage people, and we can talk about it later, how to present to people that would like to invest in, you know, a company like that as a scale. Mm-hmm. You know, furniture is needed for every household.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
An opportunity, and she's good at it. It can really be a very powerful business opportunity and others like that. And you're partnering together. It's one of the challenges. It's really sinful nature and people for humble beginnings, for example, they tend to try to keep on, hold on, and because it's not enough. But what happens, you develop a scarcity mentality as opposed to abundant mentality. Mm-hmm. And we tend not to collaborate from a place of abundance. I mean, it's enough for both of us, mm-hmm. all of us. Mm. And work together and for a greater good, greater purpose. So I may not make as much, but because of sharing, but the impact is 20 times, 100 times bigger. And
Amen.
That's what God wants to get done.
Amen. And I'm thinking, Bishop, we have our staff retreat next week. Let me talk to our chaplain, and I want to connect with them and see if your schedule fits. It may be good to have you come in and lead one of the morning devotionals at our staff retreat. So that you can meet our staff, we can use that as a way to kind of introduce the potential to you know what I mean?
Because I'd love to. Let me know.
Yeah. So I'm gonna do an email to Richard and see if he can one of the mornings that works with your schedule. And now the problem, those devotions are early. We did on 6:30.
No, I'm good. I'm an early guy. So
Amen. Amen. Awesome. We're talking to Bishop Ed Smith, the founding pastor of Christian Fellowship, a great church out of LA, Zoe Christian Fellowship. He's a founding pastor of that particular church, but he's also the founding leader of the Zoe Association and the Nehemiah Project LA. You also found the Nehemiah Project LA, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Nehemiah Project LA. And together with these three entities, he's leading transformation, not just in LA, but around the world. And as he stated, we looking to work with him and partner with him to make greater impact. He's also a member, by the way, of the e-community. He's a member of the e-community. And I'll be speaking at his conference. So Bishop, let's talk about this conference. So I'm watching and listening right now, and I put this date on my calendar, July 15th, 24th, and I wanna come to the Zoe Purpose Conference and the Nehemiah Film Festival. So who is this for and what can I expect when I get there?
Really, it's for any person who really would like to grow and learn from people, for example, that are own their own equity capital funds. Not just how to do that, but also the importance of investing yourself and kind of bringing friends, family together to invest, buy a property, buy a home, buy a business, buy an ongoing concern with an already established cash flow. If you don't understand what I just said, this is why it's important that you need to come. Because that's how the world operates. Even a nonprofit has to make a profit.
Amen.
I'll say it again. Even a nonprofit has to make a profit, meaning that there's more income after expenses. So or else you can't invest and do more and hire more people. And so it's about, we have people that are talking about political influence, that work in the political space, people that deal with mental health, because right now mental health is a major challenge for a lot of people, the sheltering, the pandemic and so forth, people dying. It's hard on a lot of people, even a lot of Christians. So we're going to talk about that from a Christian's biblical perspective. We have people that deal with from the Spanish-speaking community that's in their language, but also address those similar areas. We'll be having people speaking on how to write books, how to produce television programs from the Nehemiah Film Festival side of the conference. It will be, and by the way, you can go to nehemiahfilmfestival.com. And you can register because it's open to anyone, not just those who've been in foster care. Anyone can submit their films. And we're getting so many of people that are submitting their films. So it's not too late to do that. But it's about giving, adding value and equipping people. My DNA, my bent is about working together and scaling it and engaging other people with like-minded heart, like-minded vision to have a greater impact in the world for God's kingdom.
I love it. So what I'm hearing you said, Bishop, is so if I'm an individual looking to be inspired and equipped, I need to come to this conference. If yes. I want to learn various ways to create wealth, to leverage whatever talents and gifts I have, to even in terms of looking at using tools such as acquiring businesses and so forth, I want to come to this conference. Mm-hmm. If I'm an artist, I have ideas for writing, things like that. I want to learn how to monetize it. I want to how to leverage it from a content creation standpoint. I want to come to this conference. If I have a heart for foster kids and making an impact in communities through biblical principles and economics, I want to come to this conference. Mm-hmm. If I'm a pastor or a leader and I want to connect with other pastors and leaders who are gathering together for greater impact, equipping each other and their congregation, I want to come to this conference. There's no geographic boundary because it's online, wherever around the world. So, but what if I speak English? I speak French. What if I speak another language other than English? I'm sorry, I speak Spanish. What if I speak another language other than, are you going to have translation for those who are non-English speakers? So what language are you going to be translating?
We haven't, we talked about that. We haven't addressed that yet. We've been focusing on, as you know, the technology piece and other elements of it. But maybe we should talk further because I know you do that with your conference and you make that happen. We would love to be able to be more inclusive of those who only speak French, for example. I think about a good third or two thirds of Africa speaks, a third speaks French. So yeah. We want to be sensitive to all French speaking speakers. And on other languages. We wanted to be, this is our first conference like this coming out of the pandemic. So we wanted to be able to make sure it be a quality and not overdoing it and yeah. so forth. But I'm open. I would love to hear about how we can do that.
Awesome. So that even if at the end it doesn't happen, at least they can expect a quality conference, but you're going to evolve into it at the end.
Oh, yeah.
They can plug in. And many who listen to our podcast and watch it, at least speak some English, and so they'll be able to the benefit. But the other thing I'm also hearing you say, if I'm a business person, if I'm an entrepreneur, and I want to be part of something that's about impact, kingdom, and business, I want to be at this conference.
Yes, in fact, we want people to leave with an action plan, with the next step. So in addition to talking about it, we want to have a forum that where people can meet one another and now dialogue about different business opportunities and what they do, and then connect with one another. And then we may decide to connect at some deeper level as an organization.
Awesome.
Until we do that, then it's just, we talk about it and people are on their own, and some do really well, some do okay, and some and more don't do that well because they're not working together and they don't continue the dialogue in a meaningful way. So that is what we plan to do. It's not just good speakers, and even though it'd be on the platform for them to watch later on or visit, invite their family and friends later, but also to have some action plans they can begin and partner with other countries. One of our desires is to have what we call is the global features. We've been talking to people from Ethiopia, but we want to tap into other countries. We want to give believers in the world, in the United States, for example, and those internationally, to see what's going on around the world and the positive things. You know, as you know, many countries have their own PR and they have a little video and so forth, but the African Union is something to think about, you know, in Africa, and understand what's going on and what's happening in Ethiopia with the dam and all these are possibilities. We cannot be Johnny come lately.
Mm. Wow.
And so we have to be able to talk to the leaders. Some of them may not be Christian. Mm. That's okay. See, the Bible talks about how we should make friends of the mammon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we should have friendships, people that don't know God, or else how will they be influenced by God? Because they're not coming to church, they're too busy making money. Mm-hmm. But if we work with them, we partner with them in a way that's God honoring. Maybe we supply products, and so forth, that kind of thing. But we can do things and learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them are gatekeepers. Wow. And sometimes are not being as relational limits our opportunity to even reach them, and they see a God side, the God side of us beyond the business side of us. And they're like, I want, because for example, when they see how we relate to our wives, that's why I go as many places as I can with my wife, with our children. We all can have problems at times, but the reality is, how do we overcome them? How do we make up, and then our families working together, supportive, our husband and wives, because they're going through problems. They have all the stuff,
mm.
but it doesn't bring peace. Mm-hmm. And so we want to help our pastors do the same thing, because too often we're trying to chase an American dream and forgot about the kingdom of God's dream.
My Lord. Wow. Hey, friends, you want to be at this conference because this is good stuff. I mean, this is rich. This is kingdom. This is truly is. And so if you, not only you, but get others, encourage them to be a part. Again, it's July. What's that date, my friend, Pastor? Yeah. You can send it again. July 15th through the 24th. Registration will be open soon. Go to their website, enter your name, save this on your list so that way, as the registration gets open, you could be one of the early ones. Are you going to have early bid registration when your registration is open?
Yes, they can. When we announce it, they'll be able to get it right then.
Awesome. There'll be some early bid registration. Make sure you get it. So before we do our closing thoughts, and I'm going to have Bishop share words of encouragement to you, if you've enjoyed this podcast, I would like for you to share it. You know people, friends, family members, associates, who they may be like Bishop, where they were in the marketplace and they're wondering, can God use me beyond the marketplace, right? Leaders, you want to maybe share so you can say, hey, I heard this podcast of a pastor who was a banker and God transformed them into a pastor. And now he's using those same skills to advance the kingdom of God. Maybe you know a pastor, maybe your own pastor, and you've been wanting him to understand how works and faith kind of blend together. And you say, Pastor, watch this podcast because you can hear from another pastor and how they're doing it. Maybe you have friends and family, people who you say they can benefit from connecting directly with Bishop, from participating in these conferences, and you want to share this podcast. They could be entrepreneurs, they could be missionaries, they could be individuals, pastors, leaders, whatever. Share this podcast with them, right? Because if it inspired and encouraged you, don't just hold it on to yourself. That's selfish. Pass it on to somebody else so that others may be encouraged and be inspired by it. And if you know others who you think could benefit from this conference, maybe you may want to sponsor some of them. Maybe you want to come along, bring groups, bring members of your organization and be a part. And also stay tuned, because as our partnership with Bishop evolves, we're going to bring him back in and kind of talk about those specifics and share with you as we partner together and give you opportunity to join in and be a part. If you have a heart for the foster kids, and you, or you know people that do, and you want them to know more about what Bishop is doing, share this podcast with them or connect with Bishop directly so that he might be able to walk you more into Nehemiah Project and what it's doing for foster kids. You don't have to live in LA, because Bishop's heart and vision is to look at this from a global perspective. Maybe you want to be involved with what's happening in LA as a part of learning so you can do it beyond LA as well. With that, before I have Bishop share some words of encouragement to you, if you want to know more about the Nehemiah Project, before we get to that, so if you want to know more about Bishop and Nehemiah Project LA, go to nehemiahprojectla.org. You can also go to the zcf.org for the Zoe Association, Zoe Church, that's the church. You can also, there's also the Zoe Association, so there's also the Nehemiah Project Film Festival website. So there's several websites that you can go to learn more and go deeper. Bishop, in your church website, they can learn about your church services on Sunday and how they can involve, just in case they are on church. You know, there are many people, Bishop, who are looking for churches that are relevant, that are being led by leaders that get it, and that they want to make sure they're being fed good spiritual food at the same time that church recognizes the fact that they may be entrepreneurs or workplace believers. Is your church one of those churches, Bishop? I just want to make sure. So get into that website and go there. You can find a great church. You know what? I know that I talked to a lot of marketplace believers, a lot of entrepreneurs. I said, but I can't just find the right church. Well, we want the direction of the right church. But there is one you can consider. And by the way, if you don't live in LA, guess what? They have online services because of COVID. And then you guys probably will still have online service even beyond COVID, would you?
Yeah, our plan is to, we're winning more people to Christ than ever before. And our plan is to continue and expand our online presence as we bring our churches together.
Wow.
And plant more churches where the online community resides geographically. So that's the plan.
So Bishop, I'm curious. Can somebody then be a member of your church without ever living in LA?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because some of them, that's where they start. Now, we'll ultimately encourage them to get connected to a local community. But some, because in our own church, there are people that travel a lot. Yeah. They're flying from Arizona or Nevada or another state because they're coming through to come to our church. In their mind, I'm their pastor. We want them to be part of a community, but you can do it online. We've mastered that, to be quite honest, during the COVID-19 pandemic. We meet online with small groups. We have prayer online weekly. We have all-night prayer once a month, and people show up. We have over 700 people come to all-night prayer.
Wow. Wow. And now, so, church, where people show up for prayer, is a church. Oftentimes, prayer meetings are the least attended meetings in church.
But online, it makes it easy. Right.
That is awesome. Prayer meetings and Bible study. Those are, you know, a healthy church, but how many folks show up Bible study and prayer meetings, right?
Yeah, we have small groups with probably have a total around 700 people, 750 people that are part of that. And then we have weekly prayer gatherings. We don't even keep count of that because we have one for the marriage people, one for the ushers, one for the praise team. We have for leaders. It's just we're praying church. So that's how they can be part of a church community. Online until now, then they'll get their heart to be encouraged, find a local fellowship.
Our experience is that churched people make better biblical entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line. And we don't finance people who aren't churched. We've got to get a letter from your pastor. You can go through biblical entrepreneurship, you can be coached by us, but we need you to find a local church because at the end of the day, we didn't make you being pastored.
Yeah.
Well, Bishop, there are people listening and watching around the world, and we are the end of the quarter, right? Q1. We're going to have a quarter retreat next week for our first quarter. Many organizations come to be doing that around the world. And so this first quarter, people are closing it. Some people are excited. Some people are challenged. Mm-hmm. The vaccines is coming along, at least in the United States, other countries as well. But there's this uptick, and so there's still fear, right? For business people. So as we look to the three quarters ahead, what would have encouragement would you like to give entrepreneurs as they consider what God can do this year for them in spite of the pandemic?
For the entrepreneurs, I would encourage them to really think about what God is saying and what God is doing. And part of it, we have to be, as you know, you have to investigate. Yes, God put something on your heart, but how do you do it? Tap in technology. What kind of technology? Is an app out there? Are there other people to connect with? In other words, do some research. I learned this, took me a while to learn this, but we too often we pray and we expect somehow everything falls out of the sky. No. The Bible says, Jesus explained what when he says, ask, seek, and knock. And he said, you ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be open to you. But what he's doing is the acronym. It's the first letter of both words, all three words. Ask, you receive. It's God taught, it's done. But you just sit there and don't move forward, don't collaborate, don't say, God, give me more. Then the seek, that is research. That's walking around, that's traveling, that's going to workshops. You research and learn more how to do what God's called you to do. And then thirdly is to knock. That means you got to knock on a door you have to get access to. Somebody's office, somebody's business company, somebody's partnership, franchise, you have to knock and to learn more. And that's how the process works. God gives us clarity through the word. And so business people, and that's done by spirit-filled men who love the Lord, who are open to the Holy Spirit to speak to them, guide them. It's not some weird boys. You'll talk to your heart and you follow what's in your heart. And I close with this. The Bible says in 2:13 of Philippians 2:13, for it is God that works in you. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure and purpose. Trust, you're born again, you love God, you're growing in the word. Trust what God is saying to you and walk it out by faith.
Wow, good word. That was worth the price of admission. Bishop, thank you so much. Bishop, there's a clear anointing upon your life right now that I think you bless our people. Would you mind saying a prayer for our people who are listening as we wrap up?
Father, I thank you for your people, these men and women, young men and women as well, and older men and women, that your flame is not out, that your flames go stronger, the fire in you and the vision becomes clear, that you seek clarity. And I thank you, Lord God, that those who may have been weary during this pandemic experience and season, things happen or didn't happen, that you're not finished with what you want to do in their life, and that they'll recognize it. So my prayer that the eyes of their understanding, as in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, that the eyes of your understanding, my friends, will be enlightened, that you will discover the hope of your calling, that you begin to get clarity. What is my calling? Get in your lane. By the way, that lane includes God with you. So be encouraged, my friend, and be determined to fulfill God's purpose that he has for you in the earth, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor, Bishop, thank you so much. Guys, thank you for watching and listening. See you next time. Bishop, looking forward to July.
Please. Thank you. Thank you, my brother.